We're here today at the National Museum of American Jewish History in Philadelphia on Independence Mall with Josh Perlman, who has an extremely impressive list of functions, and I cannot quite figure out his title, but tell us, Josh.
Well, thank you, Jill. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm the Deputy Director for Exhibits, Programs, and Collections here at the museum.
Which incorporates just about everything.
Well, it does incorporate a lot of the fun stuff.
We were chatting before, and you had said that your background is you are a historian, and you serve as a curator in that capacity here, amongst other things.
Yes. You know, my training was as a historian in Jewish history and American history. And since coming to the museum 5 years ago, I've been serving a number of different roles, but one of my major roles has been as the chief curator for the museum's new core exhibition, which covers about 25,000 square feet and 3.5 floors of the museum. And it's really an immersive and deeply chronological experience running from the first Jewish settlement here in what was then colonial America in 1654, well up until the present day. I was very lucky throughout my training to have an opportunity to really touch a number of different fields: world Jewish history, American Jewish history, and American history in general. And during the period of my study, I was fortunate to work in a number of museums. And so, you know, I had this intellectual pursuit as well as a pursuit in public institutions. And, you know, this position and my work here really kind of brings it all together. It's really, you know, how often do we have the opportunity to kind of pull all the pieces of our lives together and work in that, you know, it's a joy to work in that way.
It is, and also it addresses an issue which I have run up against throughout my life, of saying that being Jewish or being a Jew is a nationality. Is it a nationality? Is it a religion? And, of course, this does present certain problems in terms of how you treat that. I mean, you're talking about American Jewish history, so...
Well, you know, this museum's mission is to present the story of Jewish life in America. And we're very lucky to be here on Philadelphia's Independence Mall because it really provides a unique opportunity. Here we have the story of a particular minority group who came here very early in the history of this nation. We tell that story really at the ground where our nation was founded. And so not only are we about the story of Jews and Jewish life in America, but I think we provide this really fascinating and interesting lens on the larger history of the nation. And, you know, I think that makes this institution relevant, important, and, you know, broadly significant.
So would you say that the story of the Jews in America is very, very different from the stories of Jews in other countries, modern countries?
Well, you know, every geographical context has its own story. And, you know, we are fortunate as Jews in the United States to have lived in a country devoted to freedom. That doesn't mean every moment of Jews' existence in this country has been easy. Doesn't mean that there hasn't been struggle, nor that there hasn't been anti-Semitism. But unlike the history of Jews in Europe, or even the history of Jews in Israel, Jews in America have really benefited from a tremendous number of opportunities and have not been plagued by the kind of violence that others had faced
in other places in the world. Yes. So we are really starting here in the United States at the time of the creation of the United States of America. And there were Jews that were very, very significant in that era. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the great things about the story we tell is we begin in 1654. We begin at the very, you know, early moments of the settlement of this country by Europeans. And we trace the history of Jews throughout the colonial era, and then into the founding of the nation and up until the modern day. And so you really see this intersection and dynamic story, an intersection between a particular minority population and their life and role in the history of a country.
And that particular aspect has never really been stressed when you study American history. I mean, you feel that this is rather enlightening in that sense. Living in Philadelphia, of course, we can see, I think, in there is a cemetery where you have the revolutionary heroes, and here in Philadelphia, I think there are some Jews in that cemetery as well. And once again, it sheds light on something which I think was never, I don't know if it was meant to be hidden or whether it was just an oversight or what didn't the people, the founding fathers, never really thought of it in any particular way. But here you have it.
Well, I really appreciate your question because, you know, this is the largest institution of its kind now, exhibiting and educating about Jewish life in America. Philadelphia certainly, you know, has the luxury of having some, you know, historic Jewish institutions. As you know, we used to share our space with Congregation Mikveh Israel, one of the oldest Jewish congregations in the United States. There is a historic cemetery on Spruce Street, where you see Jews from the very earliest days of Philadelphia's existence buried. And so telling the story of Jewish life at this scale and in such a grand public fashion, I think, you know, will be illuminating for our Jewish visitors as well as our Gentile visitors.
And also, I think the whole idea of Philadelphia as the birth of our nation, actually, the place of the birth of everything that we hold dear in terms of the tenets of how we live our lives and freedom and the Declaration of Independence and so on, which has always been brought up as a kind of a boilerplate for nations that are developing. It is so wonderful for you to locate here, and it's kind of luck, isn't it? Would you say? I mean, was the idea of this thought out?
Well, the museum has existed in Philadelphia since 1976. We were founded as part of the bicentennial celebration. But the idea of creating this institution has been about a 10-year journey. And we always felt proud of our place on Independence Mall. Our previous home was about 100 feet north of where we are. But the opportunity to be here on the corner of 5th and Market Street is really remarkable.
We had the extreme pleasure of speaking with the president and CEO of the National Museum of American Jewish History, Michael Rosenzweig. Tell us a little bit about the idea of it and why is it different from just a museum?
The National Museum of American Jewish History, actually, Jill, has been around for quite some time. A lot of people don't know this, but as an institution, it has existed in Philadelphia since 1976. The new museum, in which we're now sitting, just opened. And in many ways, it is a new institution. What's special about this museum, I think, is that it is the only museum anywhere that tells the story of the American Jewish experience from the very beginning in 1654, when Jews first came to this continent, right up until the present day. There literally is no other museum anywhere that tells that story. Now, when you think about it for a moment, that's really quite remarkable, because the span of Jewish history, of course, is thousands of years, literally thousands of years. And most historians would tell you, if asked, that the chapter of American Jewish history, 350-plus years, in many ways is the most glorious chapter in all of Jewish history, all of those thousands of years of history. That's because Jews in this country enjoy a kind of freedom and a kind of prosperity and a kind of influence that's virtually unprecedented in all of Jewish history. The notion that that chapter of that multi-thousand-year history would not be the subject of a museum, would not be told somewhere, is really quite astonishing. And yet, without this museum, it wouldn't be told anywhere. just by way of contrast, to kind of put that in perspective, there are lots of chapters, obviously, in this long history of the Jewish people. We as a people generally have done a pretty good job telling our story, telling our history. One example, of course, is the Holocaust, a very dark, horrific chapter in Jewish history. Nonetheless, one that for very different reasons needs to be told. And frankly, we have done a very good job telling it. We have in this country alone probably 80 Holocaust memorials and museums. And yet, without this museum, the National Museum of American Jewish History, there would be none telling this much more positive story, much more positive chapter.
Well, that's quite incredible, because I think the issue is basically, is there a difference between the American Jew or the Jew from any other country? Is Judaism a national thing? Is it a religious thing in terms? And I guess that is a debate that will go on for quite a long time.
Those are great questions. They're questions that we raise in the museum as well. I will tell you first, generally speaking, we view it as our role to raise questions, provide information with which visitors can begin to formulate their own answers, but we intentionally avoid providing answers. We don't view it as our responsibility or our job to suggest answers to visitors. What we do is provide information, and we certainly help visitors understand other places they can look to for additional information, but we intentionally leave it to the visitors to figure out the answers to these questions. Now, you've raised some very interesting questions, and as I say, we raise them in the museum as well. I do think that there are some unique things about the American Jewish experience. First, you have to, I think, begin by thinking about why it is Jews came to America. Why they came to this continent even before there was
initially
America.
Yes, in the early years.
And the truth is, Jews came here seeking freedom, economic freedom, religious freedom. When you think about it, by the way, that's not so different from the reasons that led many other ethnic groups to emigrate to America. Seeking religious freedom, economic freedom is something that motivated lots of those other ethnic groups.
But I think people don't realize that there were Jews that were here in the 17th century. You know, I mean, this is what is different. We are led to believe that, or we're not perhaps led to, maybe by omission, we are led to believe that they weren't really here at that time. And yet we have patriots from the Revolution that
sure.
are here in Philadelphia.
Sure. Obviously, there are people like Chaim Solomon and others. The fact of the matter is that there were Jews here even before 1654. The reason historians choose 1654 as the date of the beginning of the American Jewish community is because it was in that year that a group of 23 Jews, as it happens from Brazil, came here as a community. So there were scattered individual Jews who were on this continent before that date, but that's really the beginning of the Jewish community in this country or this continent. It wasn't really a country yet.
Yes, so, and of course, Philadelphia is the seat of liberty here. This is where it all began, we are told, and to have the Jewish participation in it is quite thrilling.
Yeah, Philadelphia was one of those cities that Jews came to in those early years. It was mostly coastal cities. It was Savannah, Charleston, Philadelphia, New Amsterdam, which is now New York, and so on. And Philadelphia is really among the most historic Jewish communities in this nation. As it happens, this museum was founded by members of Congregation Mikveh Israel, which is a very historic synagogue here in Philadelphia, founded in 1740. In fact, the second oldest continuously operating synagogue in North America, second only to Sherith Israel in New York. You're quite right. Philadelphia is really the home of a very historic Jewish community.
Well, now, what was the whole idea of building this beautiful new building and housing this all of these exciting things in it? I mean, the synagogue was there before. How did the whole idea come about?
Very interesting. In the early 1970s, Mikveh Israel which, as I mentioned, was a very historic synagogue, was looking to relocate closer to its original home near Independence Mall. Because they were a very historic synagogue, they had become a kind of quasi-museum in the sense that they attracted visitors who wanted to see the synagogue, see its artifacts, of which they had many.
And a wonderful gift shop, I might add.
Well, that came later. But somebody at the synagogue came up with the, I think, ingenious idea of creating the museum as a separate entity, a separate legal entity, that would then acquire that property, build a building with the synagogue and the museum would share that building and that property. And that's what happened. So in 1976, the museum was created. It was very small at first. I think the museum had perhaps 40 artifacts of its own at the beginning. And over the years, the museum grew, really quite impressively. And in the late 1990s, the board realized the time had come for expanding the museum. It was simply no longer possible to tell in a compelling and interesting way, really engaging way, the story of the American Jewish experience in the very small space that we had available. It was about 15,000 square feet. And so the board decided at that point to expand. Now, originally, the idea was to expand on that site. And actually, the museum went pretty far down the road on that plan, was literally on the eve of groundbreaking for that expansion when one of the board members discovered that the site on 5th and Market Street, which was the home of KYW, the local CBS affiliate, was going to be available. The board at that moment made what I consider to be a truly courageous decision, one that demonstrated great leadership. There are these moments that require great leadership. And what the board decided was we need to be on the corner of 5th and Market Streets. First, because we aspire to be a truly national destination museum, and the visibility of this site is unsurpassed. It's literally on the mall. It's directly across the street from Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell, just down the street from the Constitution Center. 4 million unique visitors a year come to this area. Beyond that, the board understood, I think, more deeply that the story we tell in this museum and want to tell, at its core, is a story about freedom. It's really a story about what American Jews have been able to achieve for themselves, but more importantly, for this country and really for the world, given the blessings of freedom that we enjoy in this country. Since that's the story we tell, what better place to be than on Independence Mall, the birthplace, the very birthplace of American freedom? So the board understood, I think, immediately the symbolic power of this location and made a very courageous decision. They scrapped the old plans, instructed the architect to draw up new plans for this site, bought the property, and here we are. Now,
do you think there was some divine intervention in this?
Well, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule it out. And I would also say that what we now have here is really something quite extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. It's very contemporary, the building. And the experience is very exciting because and a quick tour, which one should never take. I mean, I think you need lots of time to absorb what there is to see here. It is the Jewish experience, but again, I'm still trying to find the American Jewish experience that is different from the experience of Jews all over the world.
Well, you know, that's really the story we're trying to tell. In fact, one way to look at the story we tell is to think of it as American history seen through the particular lens of the American Jewish experience. And there is something uniquely American about the American Jewish experience.
What is it that's different?
Well, you know, we as a people, and this has, I think, become increasingly evident in recent years, live in a kind of tension. We, on the one hand, luxuriate in the freedoms that we're afforded in this country. We enjoy those freedoms. Those freedoms make possible the lives that we've built for ourselves here. And in that respect, we are regarded and want to be regarded as Americans in every sense, full citizens, fully entitled to the political rights of other American citizens, fully entitled to participate in the American experience in every conceivable way. On the other hand, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we have a multi-thousand-year-old tradition. We have a great, deep, and rich heritage and tradition. And the tension that we face in this country is balancing those two, living with that freedom that almost necessarily pushes toward assimilation, toward blending in, toward becoming and being as American as all other Americans, as opposed to preserving those traditions and that heritage. And so we do live in a certain tension that I think is in many ways unique to living as Jews in this country of such enormous freedom.
Well, the word assimilation has, you know, gets a certain kind of reaction when you say that as a negative one, but it isn't really. I mean, we're incorporating who we are as American citizens and Jews.
I believe that assimilation is very complicated. There are elements of it that can be seen as negative to the extent that one's concern is preservation of tradition and heritage. Look, assimilation in some ways means relinquishing some of those traditions, relinquishing some of that separateness.
Or perhaps changing them a little bit.
And then there's the other side of it, which is what I think you're referring to. I mean, one can, and I think this is the journey that we've been on as Jews in this country, one can certainly live as Americans, enjoy those freedoms, enjoy those political rights and so on, and yet still preserve the best of our traditions, still preserve the heritage that goes back so many thousands of years.
Are there other national Jewish museums in this country?
The truth of the matter is that there are other Jewish museums, but there is no other Jewish museum. There's no other museum of Jewish history, American Jewish history. Now, there are some regional museums of Jewish history. And, of course, what those museums do is tell the story of Jewish history for those regions. But there is no other museum other than ours, the National Museum of American Jewish History, that tells the whole story on a national level from the very beginning in 1654 right up to the present. By the way, one of the questions I'm often asked is, if there's only one and it is the National Museum, and we've been recognized as such by the Senate and the House of Representatives, by the way, why would you be located in Philadelphia rather than Washington, or at the very least New York? And the answer I give is the one that I mentioned earlier, which is we are really ultimately all about freedom. That's the story we're telling here. Where better to be than in Philadelphia, and indeed not only in Philadelphia, but on Independence Mall, where freedom was born in this country.
I just think it's a marvelous, marvelous thing that has happened, and kudos to everyone who was involved, and hopefully we will have strong support for this beautiful, beautiful edifice and what's in it. And thank you so very much for speaking with us. It's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for coming down.